Good morning. Welcome on this beautiful Sunday. It's good to have you here. For those that don't know me, I'm Carolyn Inman. And today, Mary Beth, Elise, and I are going to tell you about International Justice Missions Freedom Sunday. It's a day when churches around the world are learning about slavery and partnering with IJM to end slavery in every part of the world. We're going to share with you information about the problem of slavery and what it looks like for the church to do what it says in the Bible to seek justice and defend the oppressed. First, we're going to look at this video called Fighting to End Slavery for Good.
So this is the target establishment. First suspect, view for our victims.
Remember, if there's a hazard or dangerous situation, move yourself to a position of cover.
300, move over to the police.
We saw about 1,200 little kids and found out that they were in fact trafficked and they were in fact slaves. These little kids are on this boat. They are not fed. They are abused beyond imagination.
We got to touch you up.
This is a girl. Whenever something like this comes, I imagine in my mind that girl is found.
We have operations all over the world, rescuing people from slavery. Because today there are criminals who abuse children, sell girls.
How old is she?
12.
How much?
30.
Yeah, my friend.
And force families into slavery. Criminals prey on the easiest target, the world's poor, because they expect no one to defend them.
Pareho po tayong mga tao. Hindi po tayo ipagay or hayop na pwedeng gamitin lang sa pansarili.
But today, there are thousands of people gathering to seek justice for those in slavery. We are a group of lawyers, counselors, activists, and supporters. We are called International Justice Mission. And together, we form the largest international anti-slavery organization in the world. But slavery won't come to an end until criminals know they can't get away with it. So we partner with local police to arrest and prosecute criminals. This sends a message to slave owners. We will not go away. We stay with the survivors until they are healed, until they are free.
Natulungan po ako ng IJM sa pamamagitan po na sa case ko, sa pagtulong po nila na ma-overcome ko po yung fear.
Each year, we rescue thousands of slaves and protect millions around the world. We are transforming how justice systems protect their citizens. To those who are still enslaved, we promise to find you. We will get you home to your families so you can have the freedom you deserve.
Video gets me every time. Today, 40 million people are in slavery. 40 million. One in four is a child. A child goes missing in India every 8 minutes, and nearly half are never found. These are overwhelming numbers. Today, we're going to look at some ways that we can have an impact on these numbers. Gary Hagen is the founder and CEO of International Justice Mission. He's an attorney who worked on human rights issues throughout his career in places like South Africa and the Philippines. He also worked for the U.S. Department of Justice. While there, he was put on loan to the United Nations Center for Human Rights. And in 1994, he served as officer in charge of the UN's investigation of the genocide in Rwanda. He went on to found IJM in 1997 on the principle of Isaiah 1:17, which says, "Learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow." IJM is a Christian organization that protects the poor from violence without regard to religion, race, or any other factor. And they seek to partner with all people of goodwill. They partner with local governments and authorities to rescue victims of violence, bring criminals to justice, restore survivors, and strengthen the justice system. These four principles guide their work. First is rescue. They work with local police to rescue the victims from ongoing violence and bring them to safety. Second is restore. They work with social workers to restore survivors to their community through counseling, education, and skills training. This can take years and years. Third, restrain. They work with the police to restrain criminals, traffickers, and slave owners from hurting others. This means putting them in prison. It can take years to work through the justice system, and IJM walks every step with every victim. And lastly, repair. They work to address gaps in the systems that will protect the poor from violence long term. That means changing laws and changing culture. As you can see, this model requires years of working with victims and governments. Elise, Mary Beth, and I were fortunate to tour their IJM's headquarters in Crystal City recently. The thing that left a lasting impression on me was their commitment to prayer. The entire headquarters team meets every day at 11 o'clock for prayer. And we were invited to join them. They had very specific prayer requests, some of which were very sensitive due to the nature of what they do. What struck me was a prayer for a rescue that was happening as we met. The victim had been rescued, but their prayer was for her to have the courage to be honest with the police and to tell her story. What a great amount of courage it must take for the victims of slavery to overcome their fear and shame and share their story so change can happen. They ask us to ask you, the church, to pray for their work. In this next video, we're going to see an example of the vulnerability of the poor and how rescue can be accomplished.
I'm 5 years old. I follow grandfather to the farm and watch what he's doing. I am 9 years old. I never want to leave this place. I always help my grandfather in the market.
Never know when you're a body now.
I'm a body.
Asra Bali Review. Asia.
When I left home with my uncle, I didn't see my grandparents anymore. The first time I went on the lake, I wanted to escape, but I didn't know the way.
Get him!
Me, my grandfather came for me, but he could not find me. My uncle said, "You forget about your grandfather." And he said, "Those are the people who come for small boys." So when they come, I should jump into the water and swim away.
This story took place in Ghana on Lake Volta. It's shocking to think of this 9-year-old boy spending 2 years as a slave on the lake. One part that really hit me was that his captors made him afraid of those that wanted to rescue them, calling them the people who come for small boys. We learned that International Justice Mission engaged pastors in that area for a justice conference. Over 270 pastors and leaders came to be equipped on child trafficking and God's heart for justice. The lead presenter at this conference said to these pastors, "There are child traffickers in your congregation, but because they are the most influential people in your community, you are too scared to rebuke them. He then asked them, "Do you want to be a faithful pastor or a popular pastor?" After the conference, hundreds of these pastors decided to host Freedom Sunday like we are today, to join churches around the world to pray for and bring freedom to the boys on this lake. That year, 100 boys were rescued on the lake. When Foley was trapped in slavery on Lake Volta, he used to pray every morning before he and other young boys paddled out on the boat. He would pray, "God, we are awake. In your name, we are going to the lake. Put your hands over the net and don't let it go to a place where humans can't go, but someone still has to go. Take it to a place where it is safe for humans to go." This is obviously not an eloquent prayer, but one truly written by a child, and it is a powerful one. He fully knows that he can die doing this job on the lake, and he has lost friends doing it. This is ultimately a prayer asking God to keep him alive today. As already mentioned, we are asked to pray as well. Some specific ways you can pray for those around Lake Volta are to pray for the children who have been rescued out of slavery. Pray for their complete healing from physical injuries, illness, and emotional trauma. Pray that each child will come to fully realize their deep value and be surrounded by caretakers who will provide the protection they need. Pray for the ongoing cases against accused traffickers, for justice to prevail, and victim sensitivity on the part of court officials when taking statements of the children. Pray for children who are still on the lake waiting for rescue. Pray for their safety, for protection and health, and that rescue and healing would come swiftly.
In our passionate love of God, in intimate devotion, we are called to engage in whole life worship.
Worship that incarnates an active love for what God loves.
The poor.
The broken.
And the nations. When we worship as God's people, it brings us in line with the whole of creation.
The prophet Isaiah calls us, "Learn to do good.
Seek justice.
Rescue the oppressed.
Defend the orphan.
Plead for the widow."
Worship and justice are inextricably linked.
Justice is woven into the fabric of true worship, and worship is
the true endpoint of justice. They are simply inseparable.
As a result of our worship, justice will flow out of us.
It is a response to what God has done for us. So what awaits those who answer God's great call to justice?
A life of worship.
A life of meaning.
And a deeper intimacy with Christ as we serve the marginalized,
afflicted, and oppressed in His name.
Come worship with us.
Come seek justice with us.
Good morning. I want to start our time together with reading Psalm 10. And then we'll continue in our discussion. O Lord, why do you stand so far away? Why do you hide when I am in trouble? The wicked arrogantly hunt down the poor. Let them be caught in the evil they plan for others. For they brag about their evil desires. They praise the greedy and curse the Lord. The wicked are too proud to seek God. They seem to think that God is dead. Yet they succeed in everything they do. They do not see your punishment awaiting them. They sneer at all their enemies, and they think nothing bad will ever happen to us. We will be free of trouble forever. Their mouths are full of cursing, lies, and threats. Trouble and evil are on the tips of their tongues. They lurk in ambush in the villages, waiting to murder innocent people. They are always searching for helpless victims, like lions. Crouched in hiding, they wait to pounce on the helpless. Like hunters, they capture the helpless and drag them in nets. Their helpless victims are crushed. They fall beneath the strength of the wicked. The wicked think, "God isn't watching us. He has closed his eyes and won't even see what we do." Arise, O Lord, punish the wicked, O God. Do not ignore the helpless. Why do the wicked get away with despising God? They think God will never call us to account. But you see the trouble and grief they cause. You take note of it and punish them. The helpless put their trust in you. You defend the orphans. Break the arms of these wicked, evil people. Go after them until the last one is destroyed. The Lord is king forever and ever. The godless nations will vanish from the land. Lord, you know the hopes of the hopeless. Surely you will hear their cries and comfort them. You will bring justice to the orphans and the oppressed, so mere people can no longer terrify them. Amen. So I have been a fan of Gary Hoggins for many years now, and I look for the things that he has to say through talks that he has given. He gave an amazing TED Talk on poverty and how poverty and violence are linked together. I've listened to him speak at different conferences using YouTube. But as we prepared for this, I actually found a sermon that he had done. And I listened to the sermon and I realized that what he said was nothing that I haven't heard before, but just the way he presented it just kind of gave me a new understanding of what God has to say to us about our role in helping those that are the most vulnerable. See, when he was doing all the things that Carolyn and Mary Beth already mentioned, and he realized that God was calling him to get more involved, he asked God, God, what is your plan? Realizing that 10,000 kids starve every day and that there are over a billion that don't have medical care, and that slavery is at its highest here in 2018. What is your plan, God? And he looked for the answer in scripture, and he read several of the scriptures that we've already looked at and a couple of more, starting with Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16. It says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. In the same way, let your light show before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." He also looked at Micah 6:8. "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." See, as he continue to seek what God would have him to know about what is your plan, it became very evident to him that we are his plan. We are God's plan for meeting the needs of justice in the world. And that can be a little bit overwhelming, but when you look at the verse, in Matthew, it's not a suggestion that we be a light. And when you look at the verse in Micah, it's not a suggestion that we care about, we act justly and love mercy and walk humbly. It's instruction. And so therefore, it became very evident to him that we are the plan. So what does that mean? So if we're the plan, how do we do that? Because I don't plan on going to any of these countries anytime soon. I don't know if you all plan on going to these countries anytime soon. I'm not equipped to go into a court of law. I looked at what it, every once in a while I look at the job opportunities at IJM, not because I'm not looking for a job. Don't let that rumor start. But I'm very interested in what they're doing. And I realize that besides the fact that I'm happy where I'm at, you have to dress up there. because you're going into courtrooms and on Capitol Hill and all of that. But there are some people that are equipped to do that. And so maybe that is something that God's going to move you towards. But I realized that because that's not me, that I still had a job. Because God's plan for meeting justice is all of us. And so that means it's going to boil down to one of two things. If I'm not going to go to the Hill, and I'm not going to go into a courtroom, and I'm not going to go to the country, then I'm left with very little options. And two of them are, I can give financially, because it costs a lot of money to do all the things that the International Justice Mission does, and I can pray. And we're actually not going to be talking very much at all about money today, because we already have ways that we give to help vulnerable children, and we have plans and projects coming up where we will have an opportunity to be a financial partner, and we just can't do everything. So that really kind of leaves us with prayer. And I will tell you that for the most part, that kind of leaves us with the harder of the two. Because even though it can be a sacrifice to give financially, and I have experienced that sacrifice, I'm sure some of you have experienced that sacrifice. And I'll tell you, my latest sacrifice, which is such a first world problem, is that a friend of mine, dear friend, who is serving as a missionary in Guatemala, asked me if I would provide a microloan for a woman who was trying to start a business so she could support her family. And I said yes, and it was the equivalent of 2 years of what I would spend on TiVo, which, for those of you who are not old school, that's like a DVR system. And so I do think about it. I think about it in times when I would really like to pause live TV. And I think about it in the times when I would really like to record something. But most of the time, I don't think about it. I happily gave that loan, but I don't think about the financial sacrifice that I made. Now, I can still and will pray for that woman. But most of the time, when we give financially, we give once, and we may or may not think about what we gave to again. So I would say that as far as what is harder and what requires us to have more skin in the game is prayer. And that we need to be praying intentionally. We need to be praying like we really believe that our prayers are going to knock those doors down. That became kind of real for me because for 10 years, like I said, I've been aware of their work. And back in 2009, Carolyn and I started using our birthdays to raise money for, at first, ministries like IJM. And as we became more and more involved in places where we had actually walked and where we had actually met the people and we cared about side by side, we actually shifted from giving our money to these places that were freeing people from slavery and into the ministries that we had face-to-face contact with. And for a minute, that hurt, because we had raised over the years almost $10,000 and to go towards all types of work for vulnerable children. And for a minute, that hurt, because I wanted to be a part of the door being knocked down. And then I realized that the places that we were supporting, shifting our financing, our support to, they were preventing kids from having to ever be in the room where the door had to get knocked down. And so I realized that our monetary contributions were just as valuable, if not more. But I still cared and still care deeply about what happens at the International Justice Mission, and what happens to these kids like Foley. So I had to accept the fact that my prayers really did make a difference, and that I could make a difference and those doors getting knocked down because I was being intentional in how I prayed. I would take the time to see what the more immediate needs were at International Justice Mission so I could get on my knees and pray for the work that other people were doing, that I could be committed to seeing results through prayer. I had to believe that God's answer to having people who have been through the worst that anybody can imagine, learning that they are precious to Him, that they are cared for by Him, and that He has a plan, a better plan for them. I had to believe that if I wanted to see that happen, and I wanted to be the light that Scripture calls me to be, that my part could be done effectively through prayer. I don't know what your part is going to be. Maybe somebody in here, maybe you are an attorney and you like to get dressed up and you're going to be talking to David or I about how to get in touch with IJM. But more likely, you might feel like God has called you to give, but I hope that you will realize that He's called us all to pray and that we can truly make a difference. And I don't know what that looks like for you, because I don't know if that means that you're going to realize what you can accomplish through those prayers for those that need it the most by bringing it up on a consistent basis to your small group, or like I said, being intentional about looking and seeing what the newest prayer needs and most urgent prayer needs are. I don't know what that's going to look like for you. On your chairs, we have put prayer cards. I don't know how far back we went with those cards, but if you don't have a card, there's also a table right outside the door that has different resources. All of them are available and free. There's a couple of books. There are some other things. There's a list of books we just flat printed off of Amazon for you to become more familiar with Gary Hagen and the work at IJM. So I hope that you will realize that you can truly be a significant difference in what God has called all of us to do. And here's what I'm going to leave us with, is that here's how the concentric circles of all this work. Is that IJM, who even though they work with everybody, they love the Lord with their whole heart, and they believe that they are doing the work of God. And they want these precious people, who some do know Jesus already, but they want them all to know, we are coming to you in the name of Jesus. Those who do the recovery work that Carolyn mentioned are Christians who just show God's love in amazing ways to those that have been rescued or are in the recovery process. And you know what? Those that were Christians, when this happened to them, their faith grows in abundance because they've seen God work through His people. And those that didn't know Jesus and come to know Jesus through this process, they want to tell everybody who will listen about the Jesus that used His people to rescue them. It is an amazing set of concentric circles that we have the right, the privilege of being a part of. So I hope that you will think about your role, the role of your small group, and I hope that you will get into this exciting work and start praying for these doors to be knocked down. Let me pray for you as we move ahead. God, thank you so much for these that are here today. And I pray, Father, that you would just burden our hearts for what you would have us to do. I pray, Father, that we would be obedient. I pray, Father, that we would be intentional. And I pray, Father, that we would take very seriously the fact that we can have a role in this work without even leaving our home or our own jobs. We thank you and we praise you, Father, for giving us that job to do and for knowing that you are going to hear our prayers. And I just thank you and I praise you and I ask this all this in Jesus' name. Amen.